Shir is Daf Chaf Hey in Masechet Pesachim, and we're going to begin on Daf Chaf Dalet Amud Beis, 8 lines from the bottom. Yesterday we had learned that when the Torah tells us certain items are also to be eaten, they're only also Derech Achilason if they're eaten in the normal way of eating. And when certain items are also bahana, at least according to the second version of Rav Avuah's din, it was only also kederech hanason, in the normal manner of having benefit. Omar Abaya teaches us Abaya, hakol moedim bekalei hakerem, everybody will agree regarding kelayim, with the halach of kelayim is that you're not allowed to mix different types of seeds in a vineyard. That one receives malchus for benefiting from them, even in that normal manner of deriving benefit. My tama, what's the reason? Says Abaya, mishum delek sibu achila. Since the Torah, when it mentions the isra of klayim, does not use the terminology of achila, the Torah is trying to teach us that even in the non-normal derech, you're going to be chayif. And in fact, the Shag's Aryeh, based on this statement of Abaya, says that in Yom Kippur, someone will eat shaloi kederech achila, not in the normal fashion of eating, he will be chayif. Because since the Torah, when it speaks about the isser of eating Yom Kippur, does not say lo soichlu, don't eat on Yom Kippur, rather, the Torah says, "Vanishem es nafshesechem." The Torah says you should do something to cause you pain, not eating. What the Torah is telling us is that Yom Kippur, any form of eating is also. That's how the Shagas Aryeh learned. The Ksav Sofer disagrees. The Ksav Sofer says that even on Yom Kippur, if you don't eat in the normal fashion of eating, you will not be chayiv feeding Yom Kippur. He says the fact that Torah did not use the word achilam Yom Kippur, it's to tell us that Yom Kippur, the shir, is dependent on Yishuv Hadas. That we know normally the shir achila is a kezayis, but in Yom Kippur the shir achila is a kesevis, which is a larger amount. Why? Because Yom Kippur, the achila, the eating, is not the issue of eating, it's an issue of yishuv hadas, what satisfies. That's why the Torah didn't use the word achila. But not that the Torah deleted, omitted, using the word achila, says the Ksav Sofer, to teach us that on Yom Kippur, you'll be chayiv, even shloi kederech achila. Meisvei, ask the Gemara on Abaya. It says in a braisa, Isi men Yehuda oimer, menayim lebos b'cholav shuasa. How do we know that bas b'cholav is also to be eaten? Because the Torah says in three different places, lo savashal gedi b'chalei v'imoy. You're not allowed to cook meat and milk together. Midaraisa, that only refers to cooking meat from a kosher animal in the milk of a kosher animal. Anything else is not a chiv deraisa, der chiv derabodim, any other meat and milk combination, or even poultry and milk combination, are all osur, but they're osur midrabanan. One in the nafkaminas, if it's osur midraisa midrabanan, would be if someone were to have meat cooked in artificial milk, in parva milk. So if we're dealing with real meat, where there's a specific situation that it could be an issa deraisa, the Rama says we have to be very concerned of maris ayin, and have on the table a sign or a container showing that it's not real dairy milk. However, where the only situation is a maris ayin of an issa drabonin, if you have poultry on the table with parva milk, it's less of a concern, the Rama. But the Rama does point out that if we're sitting at a table with many people, and the concern of maris ayin, therefore, is a lot more significant, even if it's just poultry and parva milk, it would be usur. But as we said, the Torah says, lo savashal gedi b'chalei v'imoy, three times. And we know that it means echad lesa achila, that you're not allowed to eat bas b'cholov, echad lesa bishul, you're not allowed to cook bas b'cholov, vech lesa hano, you're not allowed to derive any benefit from bas b'cholov. But that isn't in the words of the pasuk. So Gemara now attempts to teach us, how do we know that the psukim are teaching us these dinim? Isi ben Yehuda Omer, menayim lebas b'cholov shuasar, how do we know that it's us to eat bas b'cholov? Says Isi ben Yehuda, Nemekan, it says, regarding bas b'cholov, ki am kadosh ata, v'nem lahalon, it says regarding the iser to eat treifa meat, v'anshe kodesh tiyunli, again the Torah prefaces the iser by telling us that we're a holy people, malahalon osir, just like it's osir to eat treifa meat, afkan osir, so too is it osir to eat bas b'cholov. Vainly ela bachila. That only teaches us that it's also to eat bas b'cholov. B'hanah minayin. How do we know you're not allowed to derive any benefit from bas b'cholov? Amrit kavachayma. We learn it from a kavachayma. Ma orla shloi nevda ba'avera. We know that orla, the fruit of the tree in the first 3 years of growth, is also to be eaten. Now nothing wrong was done when the arla is planted, when a tree is planted. It's just that the Torah says that the fruit of the tree for the first 3 years is also bahana. Asur bahana. Bas b'cholov shenevd ba'aveira. Certainly in bas b'cholov where aveira was committed, cooking meat and milk together is specifically prohibited by the Torah. And it didn't. She also bahana. It's certainly also bahana. Ask Tosfos, if we have this kal v'chomer, why do we have to have the hekish from treifa? This kavachayim from arla should also teach us that it's also to eat basa b'cholov. So the mefarshim say, because we try not to rely on kavachayimers when necessary, as we explained yesterday, ain ein shim min adin, we can't give malchus based on a kavachayimer, and that's why they indeed say that for eating basa b'cholov there may be a chiv malchus, but for having hanah for basa b'cholov, since it's only learned out from a kavachayimer, and a kavachayimer ain ein shim min adin. The Meram Shif asks, how can we say that basa b'cholov always is created by doing an aveira? What would be the halacha, asked the Meram Shif, if you're in your home and accidentally milk gets poured into the pot of meat? You didn't do an aveira. You didn't purposely pour the milk into the meat, but certainly it's bas b'cholov. So why does the Gemara say, asked the Meram Shif, that bas b'cholov is always considered nevda ban aveira? So Meram Shif answers, since in a case where if the milk were poured in purposely, it would be considered an aveira, so that's why bas b'cholov is always considered as having been created by an aveira. Ask the Gemara, how could you learn from arla to bas b'cholov? Ma'ala arla sheken lo hois lo shasa kosher. Arla fruit never had a moment of permissibility. From when those fruits were created in the world, they've been usher, the fruit for the first 3 years. Taimer b'bas b'cholov, shahos leik shahos kosher. However, as we explained, bas b'cholov, when we start with milk, when we start with a dairy item, they're both permissible items. It's only when they're combined, when they're cooked together, do they become usher. And Meram Chalva asks, bas b'cholov also never had a shahos kosher. He explains that the Gemara teaches us that bas b'cholov is not just milk and meat together. It's a new creation called bas b'cholov, and it remains with a kasha. But the Gemara says, how can we compare bas b'cholov to arla? Says the Gemara, chametz b'pesach yichich. We'll bring a proof from chametz b'pesach, which is also hois lo shasa kosher. It was permissible before Pesach, and yet also b'hano. Ask the Gemara, you can't bring a proof from chametz b'pesach. Mal chametz b'pesach sheken onish karis. Chametz does a chiv karis. These aveiras don't have a chiv karis. Taimer bas b'cholov she'ein arish karis. Says the Gemara, kalei kerem yichichu. We'll bring a proof from kalei kerem, which is ein arish karis. There's no chiv karis, and yet osa b'hano, it's osa b'hano. Ask the Gemara, going back to the beginning of what we learned in today's shiur, vim isef, what Abayis said is correct, that by klayim you are chayiv. Even Shaloi Kederech Nifrach, the Gemara could have asked, Malakali Akerem, you know why you can't bring a proof from Kali Akerem to Basa Becholov? Malakali Akerem, Shekain Leikin Aleyem, Afil Shaloi Kederech Anosom, Beklayim, somebody will get Malkis, even Shaloi Kederech. And that's why Klayim is different. And that's why you can't learn from Klayim to Basa Becholov. The fact the fact that this question was not asked seems to be an indication that even by Klayim, the halacha is that it's only Osir Kederach. In the normal way, not Shaloi Kederach, a refutation of what Abaye said. Now before we go further, Tosfos asks that the Gemara says that Orla never had a Shas HaKadosh, because from when it's created, it's also Ba'anah for the first 3 years. Ask Tosfos, what's going to be the halacha if I have the branch of an old tree, it's past 3 years old, and I graft it onto a new tree that's less than 3 years old? That branch will now become Osir. So you see that Orla, because it's Orla, so you see that Orla does apply, as Tosfos, even on something Shehoisel Shas HaKosher that had a that was at one point permissible. So Tosfos answers, the branch of the old tree that becomes Osir when it's grafted onto a new tree is not because it becomes Orla. It's because the part of the new tree which is not separately identifiable in the old branch is now together with it. That's why there's an Isser. Not because the old tree became Orla. Orla is only during the first 3 years of existence. Vabaya. And Abaya answers, time of Amai. Let's understand what you're asking. Time of Bas Becholov, you're asking that we can't prove from Klayim to Bas Becholov, because you're saying that Bas Becholov ain't liking a love El Dar Chanosa. You only Chayiv if you do it in the normal, if you derive benefit in the normal fashion. Ask the Gemara, says Abaye, that's not true. Ought to Bas Becholov Achilik Subuhu? Does by Bas Becholov the Torah say the word Achila? The Torah doesn't use the word Achila by Bas Becholov. Says Abaye, just like when the Torah didn't use the word Achila by Kalei Kerem, therefore the halacha by Kalei Kerem is that it's also to derive benefit from them, even Shloi Kederach, even not in the normal fashion. So too by Bas Becholov, since the Torah didn't use the word Achila, it will be also to have Hanor from them, even Shloi Kederach. And this, that's why the Gemara didn't ask the Kasha. Vidach, and the other man, the Omer, who asked the Kasha on Abaya, the Kamoisiv law, that asked the Kasha on Abaya from this Braisa, obviously holding that Bas B'cholav is only Osir Kederach in the normal fashion, Sova L'hachi Kagamim Nevela, this is why it was learned, when we learned earlier that Bas B'cholav is learned from Nevela, and Rashi says the word Nevela is really imprecise, it should mean Trefa, is to teach us, Ma Nevela Derech HaNosa, you're only Osir to have Hano, or you're Osir to eat Trefa in the normal fashion, Af Bas B'cholav Derech HaNosa. So too Bas B'cholav will only be the normal fashion. V'abaya, and Abaya tells you, L'hochi l'kosav achila b'gufa, the reason the Torah did not write the word achila by the Issa Bas B'cholav, Laima, to teach us specifically, Shaloi k'nafila shaloi derech anasa, that even if it's shaloi k'derech, you get Malkus. And Reb Chaim Oizer asks, according to this, that Abaya holds of Bas B'cholav Yechayiv Shloi Kederech, he asks, what's going to be the halacha if somebody is fed Bas B'cholav through a feeding type tube? Will he be Chayiv? So he says, perhaps even Abaya will agree that he's not Chayiv. And he explains, there are really three Madregas, there are three situations. There's a Madrega called Achila, regular eating. Certainly Yechayiv, Bas B'cholav, as we've been learning. Then there's something called Shloi Kederach Achila. It's eating, but it's not in the normal fashion of eating. For example, as we learned yesterday, you eat something that's normally eaten raw, you eat it cooked. Something normally eaten cooked, you eat it raw. And then, there's something which is not even that. Like being fed through a tube, which is not even at all considered eating And that's not even in the category of Shloike Derech, and perhaps even Abaye would agree there is no Chiyuv Midaraisa in such a situation. Ask the Gemara, the Lifrach, but the Gemara could have asked them a different question. We were learning from Kaliya Keren to Bas B'cholov. Ask the Gemara, what did the Gebraisa ask? That Kaliya Keren and Bas B'cholov are inherently different. Kaliya Keren were never permitted. The growth of two different minim, of two different seeds, is asur from inception. Basa b'cholov, as we explained earlier, was originally permitted. The meat and the dairy products on their own were originally permitted. Amar of Adbar Hava answers the Gemara. The fact that this question was not asked is to teach us, Zoy Samaris, to teach us the Kaliya Kerem, that when we mix two different types of products in the ground, Ikra Nisarim, even the original pot products, which were originally Mutter, now become Usur. So now, since they had a time of permissibility before they took root, and then when they take root, they become usur. So it's similar to Bas B'cholov, that the meat and dairy components were originally mutter, but when they're combined, they become usur. So the Gemara here is saying, at this point, that Kaliya Kerem, when they take root, the food, it's the original fruits, the original seeds, become usur, and certainly the growth. But at what point? At the point of taking root. Asks Rav Chaim Kanievsky, on Shabbos, the halacha is that if somebody zoreya, if somebody plants, he did a melacha deraisa. Certainly, when somebody plants seeds, they don't take root immediately. It takes a while to take root. Yet, the halacha is that he's chayiv for chilul Shabbos. By klayim, on the other hand, we see that he's not chayiv until hashrosha, until they actually take root. So Chaim Kanievsky answers that the Issur deraisa of Klayim and the Issur deraisa of Shabbos are different Isurim. The Issur deraisa of Shabbos is Zoreya. You're not allowed to plant. Planting has nothing to do with taking root. On the other hand, the Chiyuv of Klayim is not the planting. It's the goal that it takes root. And therefore, until they take root, the Avera has not been committed. Moser of Shmaya asked Rav Shmaya, is that true that what is planted, even though at one point was mutter, becomes usur when it's planted together with a different type of seed? It says in a braisa, hamavir otzot znoke b'karem, if somebody passes over a perforated flower pot over a vineyard, and in that flower pot there's one type of seed, in the vineyard there's a different type of seed, im hoisef masayim, if you left it there that long, that it grows 1/200th more, so it nourished from a different type of seed, 1/200th usur. So what do we see? Hoisef in, only what grew is usur. Loi hoisef, what was there from before, loi, not like we just explained that what's there from before is also included in the usur of Kaliya Kerem. Now, how do we measure? First of all, why is the what's the number 1/200th? So the Mishnayis Masechta Arl explains Masechta Klein. The halacha is that truma, the sheer bittel, the sheer of nullification, is 100-1. Klein and Arla are more chumra, are more stringent than truma, because truma, as we learned, is muta bahana. Klein and Arla are asa bahana. So therefore, if truma, which is mutter b'hana, the shear of nullification is 100-1, arla, which is klayim, which is asur b'hana, so it's double the isser and double the shear, and it's a shear of 200-1. The mefarshim explain, how do we measure such a thing that it grew 1/200th? So they say, the way we'd measure is like this. If, how long would it take for this growth in the flower pot, if it didn't have any nourishment, to dry up, to completely wither away? So let's say it would take 100 hours. 1/200th would be a half an hour, That's what we measure. If this flower pot remained over the field for half an hour, this perforated flower pot remained over the vineyard for half an hour, we say that it grew 1/200th through a mixture, through a kliyim, and it's usur. There's a machlokes, what exactly has to happen? Do you have to just leave? Does it have to be in one spot for this isur to become effective? Or even if it's passing over, the Chazanish says, even from the lashon of the Braisa, from the terminology of the Braisa, it seems that even if it's just passing over, it will be usur. But what the point here is, we see that klayim only affects what grows, not what was there originally. Answers the Gemara, Amar Rava Trei Kroy Ksiva. There are two contradictory psukim. Ksiv Hazera. In one pasuk, it says Hazera, that the pre-existing seed becomes usur. V'ksiv Hamaleya. Yet another pasuk says what's grown, that becomes usur through klayim, not what's pre-existing. How, Kate said, how do we reconcile these two psukim? Zoru amikara, if the plant was planted in the vineyard from inception, Bashrosha, it becomes forbidden in its entirety upon taking root there. That the term seed, which implies that the original plant becomes usur, refers to where the initial planting of grain or grains occurred in a vineyard. However, Zruaba, if it was initially planted elsewhere and it took root there, and there everything was fine, there, Haysef in, only what grows extra becomes usur. Loi Haysef loi, the original part is not usur. Says the Gemara, Amar Rabbi Yaakov, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Bekol Misrapim, a person could heal himself with any substance, Chutz Mi'atzei Ashera, except with the wood of an Ashera, and Ashera is an Avodah Zarah. Ask the Gemara, Hey Chidami, exactly what is the situation here? In name of the Ikka Sakana, if we're dealing with a person who's in a life-threatening situation, I feel like that's a Sherinemi. We should be allowed to use even Avodah Zarah for refuah. Because the Torah says, V'chai behem, a person should do everything in his ability to live, all mitzvahs of the Torah set aside for in a life-threatening situation. I feel close to the Shubitari V, the Lekas Sakana. If on the other hand, we're not dealing with a life-threatening situation, I feel close to the Shubitari Namiloi. So it's not only Avodah Zarah that you're not allowed to transgress. Any Avera may not be transgressed in such a situation. Answers the Gemara, Olam de Ikas Sakana. There is a life-threatening situation. V'afil Hochi Atzeh Sheraloi. Still, you're not allowed to use Avodah Zarah. The Tanya. We learned in the Braisa, Rebbe Lezer Omer, we say in the first parasha of Krishma, B'chol Nafshcha or B'chol Ma'itcha, is the question, Im Nem B'chol Nafshcha, if the Torah says with your whole soul, what did it say B'chol Ma'itcha or all your resources? V'im Nem B'chol Ma'itcha, on the other hand, why do we say B'chol Ma'itcha, Lom Nem B'chol Nafshcha, why do we also have to say B'chol Nafshcha? And Elohim will have to teach us. Im Yesh Lo Adam Shagufoi, Chavav Lom Emoinoi, if there's a person whose life is more valuable to him than his money, he should give away his life rather than serve Avodah Zarah. Because the first parasha of Krishma, which is talking about believing Hashem, Avodah Zarah is the antithesis of that. V'lechachtem b'chol nafshecha. V'yesh adam. And if you'll have a person, shememayna chavol of megufoy, who his money is more precious to him than his life, lechachtem b'chol maitcha, give away your life. So we see that nothing stands in the way of Avodah Zarah. You're never allowed to do Avodah Zarah, even in a life-threatening situation. The Parshas Terachim asks that in the first parasha, as we just explained, the Torah says B'chol Nafshecha U'V'chol Ma'itcha. But in the second parasha of Ahayim Shemaya, there only says B'chol Nafshechem. It doesn't say B'chol Ma'itchem. Why? According to this line of reasoning. So the Parshas Terachim answers that the first parasha is B'loshen Yachid. It's talking to the individual. There are individuals who money is more valuable to them than their lives. That's what the Torah has to say, B'chol Nafshecha and B'chol Ma'itcha. The second parasha, on the other hand, is B'loshen Rabbim. It's speaking to the community. Says the Parshas Terachim that a community should have a concept that money is more valuable than life doesn't exist. And that's why the Torah doesn't have to say B'chol Moedchem in the second parasha. The Leif Simcha says a different teretz. I also saw it from Davni Nezer. They say that the second parasha, which we just said, is speaking to the tzibur, is speaking to the community. If we're dealing in a situation where the whole community is in danger with their money is on the line, that's not anymore just a financial situation. That's a life-threatening situation if all of the money of the community is at danger. And therefore, the pasuk doesn't have to repeat b'chol moedchem, it's included b'chol nafshechem. There's machloikis, Tosfos in the Ram. Tosfos says that our Gemara says that you're not allowed to use avodah zarah for refuah. Says Tosfos, that's only if the only way the refuah could be accomplished is through avodah zarah. Because there we're concerned that the person will see the positive or the good effect of avodah zarah and he may come to follow avodah zarah. But if there are other ways of accomplishing the refuah, so he won't be drawn after the Avodah Zarah, and then Avodah Zarah may be used for refuah. The Ran disagrees. The Ran says that there's a din of, the Torah says, Lo yibat biyotchem uma menacherim. We're not going to have any relationship with Avodah Zarah, and therefore even Avodah Zarah, which, even if there's another option to have refuah, you're not going to have a refuah through Avodah Zarah. It's also interesting to note that the Paiskim say that the Isser to have a refuah through Avodah Zarah is when it's being used as an Avodah Zarah. That means if somebody has a refuah, goes to a doctor who happens to be a priest by Avodah Zarah, that is not Isser, because he's not approaching the doctor in his position, in his position as an Oyvid Avodah Zarah. He's approaching him as in a position as a physician, and that's why it would be mutter. There's a shaila in the Shaila Tshuvas Minchas Yitzchak where somebody there was some sort of a priest who had a wonderful healing ability with his hands, that anything he was able to touch and heal people, and the question was, could somebody avail himself of their of his services? And the Michtam Yitzchak quotes a Shas Tshuvas Binyan Tzion that says yes, because he's not doing his work here as a Oyved Avodah Zarah, he's doing it as a healer practitioner. Kiyasa Ravin Amar Rabbi Yochanan B'chol Misrapin, a person could use anything to be healed. Chutma Avodah Zarah Avodah Zarah, Gila Royas, immoral relationships, B'shvichas Damim, and murder. Avodah Zarah is Hadamar. We just explained how we know that you're not allowed to use Avodah Zarah for refuah. Gila Arayas, B'shvichas Damim. How do we know that you're not allowed to use Gila Arayas or B'shvichas Damim also? The Tanya. Rabbi Omer. The Pasuk says, Ki kashe yokom ish al re'eyu v'rtzoicha nefesh. First, the Torah speaks about a Nara Hamurasa, a girl, a Nara who's Mureses, who's being raped, and then the parasa continues. Kashiyakim Ishal Re'eyu, just like a man rises up against his fellow, or it's Sachan, Befish, and it murders him, Kena Dabazes, so too is this situation. So the question is obvious. V'chima Inyan Retzeich Etzel Nara Hamurasa. What's the connection between murder and the rape of a Nara Hamurasa? Says the Braisa, Hareza Bolulami, it seems that the din of Ritzayach was coming to teach us something regarding Nar Marasa, but actually with Nimtza Lamed, we learned something from Nar Marasa to Ritzayach. Says the Gemara, Ma Ritzayach, Makish Ritzayach Nar Marasa, what are we learning about a murderer? With comparing murderer to Nar Marasa. Ma Nar Marasa, the halacha by Nar Marasa is Nitin Latzila Benafsha. If we see somebody, Chas V'Shalom, attempting to rape a Nara Marasa, we're allowed to do anything to save her, even to kill the rapist. After Tzeach, if we see that somebody is attempting, Chas V'Shalom, to murder somebody else, Nitin Letzel B'Nafshay, we're allowed to do anything to save the victim, even at the cost of murdering, killing the murderer. the Nara Marasa Meretzeach, and we learn something from Nara Marasa to Retzeach. Maretzeach, just like Retzeach, the Aloch is Yoharig Val Yavar, that a person should never kill someone else, even if it means getting killed himself. Af Nara Marasa, so too by Nara Marasa, Tahareg Val Tavar, she should allow herself to be killed rather than do Aveira of Gilui Arayis. Now there's a machloikis and Taisvis when we say that you're never allowed to do Gilui Arayis. What does that mean? Taisvis, in the first opinion, says it's only referring to the male who doesn't act in Gilui Arayis. However, the female who doesn't do something active in Gilui Arayis would not be chayiv to give up her life. The Re, Taisus quotes, disagrees, and the Re says that even the woman has the obligation to give up her life versus doing Gilui Arayis, even though she is not the initiator of the act. Ask the Gemara, Ushvichas Tam Gufim Minola, from where do we know that by Shvichas Tam a person should rather give up his life and then Chas V'Shalom murder somebody? Says the Gemara Sfarahu. It's logical. Ki hu da osel kamei de Rava, like somebody came in front of Rava, Amalei, he told him like this. Mari de Roy, the governor of my city, Amalei, told me, Zil katla lapanya, go kill so-and-so. Viloi, and if refuse to carry out my order, katil nalach, I shall kill you. Amalei, so Rava said to him, Liptalach, you shall allow yourself to be killed, Viloi tiktal, but don't kill someone else. My chazes, the dom and the dach, simuch tfei, what makes your blood redder than your friends? Dilma dom the hu gaver simuch tfei, maybe his blood is redder. Meaning, who says that your life is more valuable than the life of your friend, and therefore you have no right to kill him to protect your life. And therefore, that's why the halacha is that Yavar, a person should not allow himself to be over that aveira. Rabbeinu Peshuscha, when he used to learn this Gemara, used to say, from here we learn how modest every person should be. He says, what would be if the question, two people in question are the Gadol Hador? Somebody approaches the Gadol Hador and says, if you don't kill this next Jew who seems to be a Pashto Jew, you will get killed. The Gemara doesn't differentiate. The Gemara says, you're never allowed to kill another Jew, even if it's at the risk of losing your own life. So we see that there is no one Jew greater than another Jew. We're all equal. And that's the halacha. But these three haveris, the halacha is Yehorig Val Yavar, a person should allow himself to be killed, versus doing the haveri. It's interesting to note, Dar Sameich makes this comment. He says that the Rambam says, what's the halacha if somebody didn't follow this Gemara? And even in these Gimel Averis, and these three Averis, Gilei Arayis, Shvichas Damim, Avodah Zarah, the person couldn't withstand the Nisayon, he couldn't withstand the test, and he did the Avera versus, he did the Avera. So the Rambam says, he's an Oynes. Oynes Rachmana Patrei, he was under duress. Says Dar Smeich, that will only be if he did the Avera because he couldn't withstand the test. But let's say he was sick, and as we're learning in the sugya now, he did one of these things for refuah. There, the Rambam will not call him an oinus, because there it wasn't that he was under duress and he couldn't withstand the nesoyin. He actively went out, says the Osimeach, according to the Rambam, and used and did something that's also to be done, and there is no heta for that. But on the other hand, Rabbi Chanan makes a very interesting observation. Rabbi Chanan says, what's the halacha if by the other averis, not one of these three averis, a person says, I'd rather give up my life than do the avera? A person is faced with the situation where he's given chazer, he's given something non-kosher to eat, and he says, I'd rather die than eat something non-kosher. Says the Rambam and the other Rishonim, that if the person wants, especially when it's an issue of Chil Hashem, he could give up his life. Says Rabbi Chanan, that's only where it's obvious that the reason somebody's forcing me to eat something that's not kosher is he wants me to violate my religion. So even though the Torah didn't tell me that I should stand strong, on the contrary, the Torah says I should do the Avera and not die, I could be strong. But in a situation by other Averas, besides these three Averas, where is the issue of doing refuah, in other words, if somebody needs to take a medicine and the medicine is non-kosher, and the person says, I'd rather die and not take the medicine which is non-kosher, says Rabbi Chanan, that you're not allowed to do. Because the reason you're not doing it to show that your religion takes precedence over everything else, because they're not telling you to eat the non-kosher food because of a religious perspective. They're telling you to eat the non-kosher food because it's for your refuah, it's for your health. There, if it's not one of the Gimel Averis that the Gemara mentions, says Rabbi Chanan, the person has to do the Avera because v'chai behem, the value of life. Now there's another shaila. The Gemara says that why is a person not allowed to murder somebody else? As we just learned, my chazus the damich today is summon. Who says that your blood is redder than your fellow? What's going to be the halacha if Reuven is approached and he's told that if you kill Shimon, we won't do anything to you. If you don't kill Shimon, we'll kill you and Shimon. We'll kill both of you. So here, Reuven is not protecting Shimon's life with his life, because Shimon's getting killed anyway. So according to the reasoning of the Gemara, it would seem that under those circumstances, a person should be allowed to kill his friend, the other Jew. But the most Rishonim say that even in the case where the reasoning of the Gemara is not applicable, there's never a heter for Shvichas Tamim. There's never a heter for Shvichas Tamim. There's other shailas in the Paiskim. If a person is in the situation of the three Averis that our Gemara discusses, Shvichas Tamim, Gilei Raiyos, Avodah Zarah, and is he allowed to even kill himself? Is he allowed to commit suicide in order not to do the Avera? Or pshat is that he shouldn't do the Avera and allow himself to get killed, but he should never put himself in the situation of getting killed himself. Also, there's another shaila. Here we're saying that a person should allow himself to get killed rather than chas v'shalom do one of these Averas. What's going to be the halacha? Not that a person's going to get killed, but the person's going to have to remain in torture for a very long time, for a prolonged time, if he doesn't do the Avera. Will the din be the same? Some Rishonim say the din will be the same. Some say certainly torture is less than death. And others say that torture may be worse than death. Death takes a moment, and torture takes longer. And here we see the value and the requirement that we as Jews have at times to be prepared to be maisa nefesh, to give up our lives. And in fact, the Shula says that when somebody, if he's put into the situation that he chas v'shalom has to give up his life, he makes a bracha. Asher k'dishonu b'mitzvoisov v'tzivonu l'kadesh shmoi b'rabim. Every Jew has the obligation to be prepared to be mekadesh shem shemayim. Says the Gemara, Ma Babreshi by Ravashi Ashkechel Ravina. Ma Ravashi met Ravina. The Shayefle Liberte, he was robbing his daughter who was sick, the Gurke de Orla, with the olive oil of Orla. Amale, he said to Rabbi Ravashi said to Rabbonin, Eimedom Rabbonin, when did Rabbonin say that you're allowed to use Orla Bishas Sakana? But it's not a sakana, you're allowed to use it. So how are you doing this? Amalei. So Ravina answered, Hi Ishta Simita, she has a burning fever. Nami Kishasa Sakana Damya. It's considered like she's in mortal danger, and that's why she's allowed to do it. Ekadamri. Other say Amalei. Midatar Hanoka Vidna. Did I do it in the normal manner of deriving benefit? I was using olives that were not fully ripened, and therefore I was allowed to do it because Shloike Derech Hanoh is Mutter. Now the Mishnah Melech asks a question. We discussed yesterday what is the halacha by Shaloi Kedar Chano. So we said that according to some Rishonim, it's mutter. According to some Rishonim, it's only Osir, but it's only Osir Midrabanan. So that we can understand the Gemara, that since it's mutter, or it's only Osir Midrabanan, here where she was sick, even if it wasn't a Sakanas Nefashis, we're allowed to be over the Drabanan because she's sick. But ask the Mishnah Melech, according to the Shittas that we explained yesterday, that Shloi Kederach Hana is Osir Midaraisa. Just what? There's no Einish, there's no Malkus, because it's like Chatzi Shir. So if here it's a situation in the second Teretz where it wasn't a Sakanas Nefashis, so how could somebody be over a Deraisa of Shloi Kederach Hana when it's not Sakanas Nefashis? So the Mishnah Lamelech explains there's two types of Chatzi Shir. There's a quantitative Chatzi Shir and there's a qualitative Chatzi Shir. A quantitative Chatzi Shir is they eat half the Shir, half the Kazayas. That is awesome, the Raisa, under all circumstances, because Chazil it's the Rufay, I may end up eating the whole Shir. Here it's not that I have a qualitative Chatzi Shir. It's a quantitative Chatzi Shir. It's a qualitative Chatzi Shir. It's not the real way of doing the Aveira. In such a situation, explains the Magen Mishnah, the halacha is that even Shloi B'Shas Sakana, Isuri Torah are waived to be able to preserve someone's health, even though it's not Sakanas Nefashis. Itma. Says the Gemara, Hano Habol Adam Bal Karchai, a forbidden benefit that comes to a person independent of his will. Abaye Amar Muteres, Abaye says it's permitted, and Rava Amar Asura, and Rava says it's Asur. And the Gemara explains, Efshav Chamakavin, where it's feasible for the person to avoid the activity altogether. And the example that's used as the subject of this entire Gemara is that somebody is smelling, somebody is having Hana from the fragrance of an Avodah Zarah. And it's feasible, Efshe means it's feasible for him to go on another way, on another road where he won't smell it, for Kamachavin. And here he doesn't take the other road, and he also intends to enjoy the fragrance. Or Loy Efshe, for Kamachavin. Or even where it's not feasible to avoid the activity, there's no other way of going where he's going, and there's a machlokes, how far do you have to try to go on another way? But he still is intending to enjoy the fragrance. Everybody agrees that that is forbidden. You can't intend to have a no from this. On the other hand, where it's not feasible for him to avoid this activity. And furthermore, he's not intending to have any hano. Everybody will agree that it's permitted. When do Abaye and Rava disagree? The Efshir, where it's possible to avoid this activity, but he doesn't intend to enjoy it. Believe the Rabbi Yehuda, according to Rabbi Yehuda, that we know there's a machlokes in Masechet Shabbos regarding Dovah Shem Miskavin, where somebody does something osir, but he did not intend to do it. The classical case is where somebody schlepped a chair along the ground and it made a furrow, but his intention wasn't to make a hole. According to Yehuda that says that even with something which he does not intend to do is still asur, everybody will certainly agree that in a situation of efshev aloicha mechaven is asur. Keep pligi, the machloikis of Abaye and Rava will be a leave of Shimon. According to Rav Shimon, who in Masechta Shabbos Omar Dovashenim Skaven is mutter, so Abaye here too says like Rav Shimon, that it's mutter. It's like a machaven. He's not intending to enjoy the dover also. Rava disagrees. And he says, at Kalei Kama Rav Shimon, where did Rav Shimon say that somebody could do something that might result in an iser? El hecha de lo afshir. Where it's impossible for him to avoid that. I have to schlep the chair. There's no other way for me to get the chair from point A to point B. where I have a choice of doing it another way, loy, he doesn't hold of that. Ikadamri, there's another version of the machlokes. Efshar v'lakamachavin, where it's possible to do it in another way, and he doesn't intend to enjoy the benefit. Hana pluktaid Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Shimon. That will be the machlokes of Yehuda Rabbi Shimon. Loy efshar v'lakamachavin, where it's impossible to avoid doing it this way, and he also doesn't have any intention to benefit. Kulam loy pligadishari, everybody will agree that it's permitted. Keeply, where's the machlokes? The loy efshar, where it can't be avoided, the kamachavin, but he intends to enjoy it. Believe it, Rabbi Shimon, according to Rabbi Shimon, does the basa kavanah. Rabbi Shimon always follows your intent. That's why he says, a dov shenim skavin, where I don't intend to do something wrong, it's mutter. And anything else, is a dov maskavin is also. So Rabbi Shimon does the basa kavanah, Rabbi Shimon follows your intent, we'll hold its osir. Kamachavin, I'm intending to benefit from something I'm not allowed to benefit from. Keep pligi, the machlok sabayin rav will be a leave Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda doesn't differentiate loishna miskaven for loishna ashena miskaven. He doesn't differentiate whether I had intention or not. He looks at the act. Efshar asur, if it is feasible to avoid the activity altogether, then it's asur. So Abaya will hold Rabbi Yehuda. Abaya will hold Rabbi Yehuda because here it's not efshar. Here it's a situation of loy efshar. Loy efshar, Rabbi Yehuda holds, is mutter. Rav Malach, the Rav is going to say, at kan lekam Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda is not telling us a kula. Rabbi Yehuda is telling us a chumra. At kan lekam Rabbi Yehuda shein miskaven kimiskaven. Rabbi Yehuda that equates having intent and not having intent, it's only lechumra. Av miskaven shein miskaven, to teach us that as long as I did, it was loy efshar, and I should be makel, that's not the intent of Yehuda. Yehuda can certainly not be more makel than Rav Shimon, and therefore Rava will tell us that Rabbi Yehuda here too will hold that it's awesome.